This is David Duke, broadcasting to the world on Web Radio. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, no matter where they may live upon the earth. And certainly this program is important for all people, because the issues we talk about here are normal human issues of normal human values that are true for all people. For instance, I believe most people know that pornography is not something that's ennobling to mankind, but something that's degrading to mankind. That pornography is involved with white slavery and a terrible degradation of women. Yet pornography now is mainstream. And pornography is part of the same problem that I discuss so often, the problem of Jewish extremism. Now, that may sound very strange and very weird to a lot of people listening, that I would say that the porn industry has something to do with Jewish extremism and Jewish hatred of Gentiles. Well, I can back up what I say, and I think I can back up everything that I say. My book, Jewish Supremacism, is well documented, and today I want to share with you some passages from the new 2007 edition of my book, which will be ready and off the presses in about 2 to 3 weeks. In it, I quote a Jewish professor, a prominent Jewish professor by the name of Nathan Abrams. He teaches American history at Aberdeen University in the United Kingdom. And Mr. Abrams boasts that Jews are indeed the driving force of modern pornography, and that their motivation is at least in part to destroy Gentile morals. And in this article, I quote from a major Jewish publication where he wrote an article called The Jewish Quarterly. Now, the following is an excerpt from this new edition of my book, Jewish Supremacism, and it offers more powerful evidence that reveals the Jewish extremist war that's going on against Gentiles. Now, this is a struggle against not just European mankind, but certainly against all mankind. And I understand the anger of lots of the Arabic world, the Muslim world, the Chinese people, or even the African people, of the garbage that comes out of the United States of America, seemingly from Americans, but truly from a people who are dedicated to Israel more than America, and a people that are rooted in extremist hatred against all Gentiles. After learning about the inordinate Jewish influence in organized crime, historical slavery, and modern white slavery, it did not surprise me when I began to learn of their domination of pornography. Just as Jewish scholars faithfully recorded the Jewish domination of the African slave trade, so they have also documented their prominent role in pornography. In a respected and scholarly magazine of Jewish intellectuals, the Jewish Quarterly, winter of 2004, Jewish professor Nathan Abrams, in an article entitled Triple Ethnics, proudly documents the leading role of Gentile-hating Jews in pornography. Here's some quotations from his article. A story little told is that of Jews in Hollywood's seedier cousin, the adult film industry. Perhaps we prefer that triple ethnics didn't exist, but there's no getting away from the fact that secular Jews played and still continue to play a disproportionate role throughout the adult film industry in America. Jewish involvement in pornography has a long history in the United States, as Jews have helped transform a fringe subculture into what has become a primary constituent of Americana. These are the true blue Jews. Jewish activity in the porn industry divides into two, sometimes overlapping, groups, pornographers and performers. Although Jews make up only 2% of the American population, they have been prominent in pornography. Another quote, in the post-war era, America's most notorious pornographer was Reuben Sturman, the Walt Disney of porn. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, throughout the 1970s, Sturman controlled most of the pornography circulating in the country. It was said that Sturman did not simply control the adult entertainment industry, he was the industry. He goes on, many are entirely secular, Jews in name only. Sturman, however, identified as a Jew, he was a generous donator to Jewish charities. Now, Abrams goes on to show how the corruption and debasement of Gentiles in Christian morality is a primary part of their motivation for intentionally infecting the Gentile community with pornography. Quote, is there a deeper reason behind the mere financial as to why Jews in particular have become involved in porn? Al Goldstein, the publisher of Screw, said, the only reason that Jews are in pornography is that we think Christ sucks. Catholicism sucks. We don't believe in authoritarianism. Pornography thus becomes a way of defiling Christian culture as it penetrates to the very heart of the American mainstream and is no doubt consumed by those very same wasps. Its subversive character becomes more charged. He goes on, extending this subversive thesis, Jewish involvement in the X-rated industry can be seen as a proverbial two fingers to the entire WASP establishment in America. Unquote. Opposition to Jewish extremist aversion of Gentile and Christian or Muslim morality is frequently defined as anti-Semitic hatred in our Jewish-dominated media. Professor Nathan Abrams, writing in a Jewish journal for a presumably Jewish audience, writes matter-of-factly about the atavistic hatred, and that's in quotes, against us by Jewish pornographers and their motivation to, quote, weaken the dominant culture in America by moral subversion. And here's a direct quote, Jewish involvement in porn by this argument is the result of an atavistic hatred of Christian authority. They are trying to weaken the dominant culture in America by moral subversion. Aster, a pornographer, remembers having, quote, to run or fight for it in grammar school because I was a Jew. It could very well be that part of my porn career is an up yours to these people, unquote. Obviously, there are no articles in the mainstream media exposing Jewish atavistic hatred against Gentiles by the promoters of pornographic depravity. But Abrams even goes further to talk about the roots of this revolutionary Jewish attack on European values. Quote, Jews were also the vanguard of the sexual revolution in the 1960s. Wilhelm Reich, Herbert Marcuse, and Paul Goodman replaced Marx, Trotsky, and Lenin as required revolutionary reading. Bachiko was one of the Jewish porn stars who read Reich's Intellectual Marriage of Freud and Marx. In light of the relatively tolerant Jewish view of sex, why are we ashamed of the Jewish role in the porn industry? We might not like it, but the Jewish role in this field has been significant, and it's about time it was written about seriously. Unquote. Now notice that all those mentioned, Reich, Marcuse, Goodman, Marx, Trotsky, Lenin, and Freud are Jews. From Freud to Goodman, all represent a Jewish revolution against traditional European values and morality. When sick Jewish pornographers are part of the brutality of organized crime, of Jewish organized crime, the results can obviously be horrifically tragic for our people. In 2000, a Jewish Russian, in quotes, organized crime ring was uncovered that specialized in kidnapping Russian children, some as young as 2 years old, from parks and orphanages, and then subjecting them to rape and torture and murder, all on videotape. These tapes were sold to thousands of Gentile and Jewish perverts all over the world. When police in Italy were frustrated by lack of action by the authorities, they released some of the video footage to an Italian network and then showed some of the graphic images, hoping to cause public outrage. Ironically, instead of outrage taking place against the Jewish murderers, the TV producers suffered outrage for simply showing the disturbing images. In spite of the horror and obvious newsworthiness of this international Jewish child porn murder operation, it received very little coverage in the media of the United States. When Seth Bekenstein, the Ring's American distributor, was arrested, there was little publicity. And in spite of being part of one of the most horrific criminal activities imaginable, Bekenstein was sentenced to only 18 months on a guilty plea. Porn is no longer 1950s pictures of voluptuous nude women on a deserted beach. It's become permeated with sadism, masochism, scatology, even sexual molestation, rape, and murder of young children. I am no prude. I love the beauty of the human body, especially that of the female type. But I do think that this kind of sick criminal activity, in which there is so much exploitation, so much degradation, and so much catering to the depths of human depravity, should be fought with constitutional law. Ironically, with Jewish influence over media, societal mores, and government today, it is legal, even chic, to make and sell the sickest pornography showing the terrible defilement, horrific defilement of women. But if you have unacceptable political opinions about Jewish supremacism, you may find yourself a political and social pariah, or at worst, in prison. We live in a Jewish supremacist world where often the sickest porn is legal, while politically incorrect opinions will land you in prison. That's the completion of my excerpt. And by the way, I saw a little piece the other day on Stormfront, and an individual was talking about my expose through Professor Toef's famous book now on Jewish ritual murder in Italy. He said, quote, and I will quote from him, and I made an answer for that on the Stormfront webpage. And let me share that with you for a second and share my answer on that issue. He wrote, he said, while it's good to see a Jew finally admit this sort of thing went on, we shouldn't need a Jew to confirm something that has been proven by Aryans, Europeans, over and over again. Which is more believable, that Europeans, often European aristocracy, would falsely accuse the Jews of ritual murder over and over again all over Europe without a shred of proof, or that some Jews actually committed this wretched offense? Why are there so many Jewish apologists in the Aryan race who won't accept an accusation against the Jews until the Jews admit it themselves? And here's my answer to that, and I think he's fundamentally correct, but I think it needs a little bit of elucidation as far as understanding how we awaken and enlighten our people. This is what I wrote. You are right, of course. We don't need Jews to confirm our own evaluations in issues that are of vital importance to our own people. But one must realize that we are in a war of ideas as well. The Jewish extremists constantly propagandize our people that any opposition to Jewish power is simply delusion, or even worse, a sign of innate evil in us, not them. When Jewish scholars themselves confirm what we say, such as the Nathan Abrams piece on pornography, there is an infinitely greater power to convince our brainwashed brethren that what we say is true, and that the mainstream public Jewish media and leadership lies to us. What has always discredited us most among our own people are those persons supposedly in our ranks who conform to hateful and idiotic stereotypes of how the Jewish media portrays us. What is most convincing to our people about the Jewish threat is not what we simply allege. For in the overly innate fairness of our people, we are quick to suspect bias. But our ability to prove what we say by showing what Jews themselves say about themselves, what has always discredited us most among our own people, are those persons supposedly in our ranks who conform to hateful and idiotic stereotypes of how the Jewish media portrays us. What is most convincing to our people about the Jewish threat is not what we allege. For in the overly innate fairness of our people, we are quick to suspect bias. It is in our ability to prove what we say by showing what Jews themselves say about themselves. One can argue that David Duke is a partisan for his people, so that they should be careful about his assertions because of his clear motives for his people. But when people read the writings or pronouncements of the most famous Jews, my argument and yours becomes much more powerful. That's why the Jewish supremacism has become the most read book in the world since the Protocols on the Jewish Extremist Threat. I have to say very little in the book other than to quote prominent Jews about themselves, expose their attitude toward non-Jews, their nefarious activities among us. A perfect example is the Nathan Abrams article in the Jewish Quarterly, Triple Ethnics, in which he boasts about the Jewish creation of the modern pornographic industry as a way to subvert the morality of their enemy, the Gentiles. Only those of our people whose thought processes are completely defective can help but be moved and enlightened when reading the shocking proof of Jewish anti-Gentile hate and supremacism. Most of our people have been subjected to a lifetime of brainwashing by the Jewish media to view Jews as always innocent and gifted benefactors of mankind. We are in a battle that requires psychology and understanding as much as it does truth. Americans had a great truth about their freedom when they fought the Revolutionary War. But what enabled them to prevail was not just the truth, but the weapons and intelligent plans they had to have to help the truth to victory. The psychological battle for our people's minds and souls is far more important than the physical battles we fight. For if we bring our people in line with our spiritual and political outlook, the physical struggle will become very anticlimactic. I wish the best to all of our people reading this, and I urge every one of you to stop treating our cause like a hobby, but as your life's ultimate purpose, the very reason for your existence. A heroic life that demands personal, financial, and other sacrifices. All of us can and must do more. You see me doing my part. You hear me doing it right now. I do it every day. I have paid a price for it and continue to pay it. And you know what? I pay it gladly. In fact, the price I've paid has purchased me a heart full of life, a feeling of love and purpose for my people that can never be purchased by less than sacrifice. Once you go beyond the rat race of day-to-day living, and you truly give yourself to the cause for our heritage and freedom, the sacrifice ceases to be a sacrifice any longer and becomes the greatest source of your inner joy. And each and every person that I awaken gives me more of what I can only describe as joy. Joy in the midst of the most terrible battles and struggles. I remember a line from Tolkien's trilogy where the heroes go into battle against the forces of evil, and as they go to death or to victory, they go singing. My heart sings to me now. Can you hear your own heart? Do you have what it takes to make it sing? Thanks so much for being with me. I'll be looking forward to being with you again next week. This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddukes.com.